Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Hope everyone's doing awesome. We're having great weather. So awesome. We're glad to have all of you that are here and all of you that are watching us there online. We're glad to have you there. And, you know, just whatever we do here, you can do there as well. Well, we're going to start off in one of the scriptures that I preach on quite frequently. John chapter 10, verse number 10, from the New Living Translation. And I'm going to start out because I like the way it says it here. It says, the thief's purpose. So the devil's purpose is to steal and kill and to destroy. His purpose in life. I mean, you think about, you know, that I always believe, God, that we're going to fulfill our purpose in life. But when you already know that the devil's purpose in life is to destroy yours, that's his purpose in life. All right, and I'm here to tell you that he's good at his purpose. He is good at his purpose. And the devil is always out seeking to steal, to kill, and to destroy you every day. Every day. And we have to be mindful of that. You know, a lot of people, it seems that, you know, for some reason there's this mentality is that when people get saved, that they accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, the devil's going to leave them alone. Do you realize the devil didn't even leave Jesus alone? He didn't leave Adam and Eve alone. Do you realize, I know we have the scripture, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So is the devil. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He's always the same. And so people kind of have this mindset that once they get saved, the devil's going to quit bothering them. But actually, it's probably even worse. I mean, once you get saved, the devil's going to keep bothering you, probably more. I mean, because he doesn't want you to fulfill God's plan in your life. And so I always, you know, thought about that. You know, if you're living for the devil, he'll probably leave you alone. Do you realize that? If you're fulfilling his plan, why does he need to bother you? But he's always out there, ready and willing and able to try to destroy you. And I said the word try. I didn't say he's there to destroy you. I said he's going to try to destroy you. The Bible says he's seeking who he may devour. Now, when I was a kid, there was a game that we used to play. It was called Mother May I. You want to play that game, Mother May I? All right. Well, you know, where you guys said, Mother, may I come over or whatever? Well, here's the thing you need to tell the devil. Devil, you may not. You need to play that game. Devil, you may not. You may not kill me. You may not destroy me. You may not do anything to me. You have no right. You have no power. You have no authority in the name of Jesus. Because, see, the verse doesn't just start out with it starts out with the devil, but it ends up with Jesus. The second part of the verse, it says, my purpose, Jesus talking here, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. So even though the devil is out to destroy you, you need to understand, you need to focus your mind on whose purpose that you're trying to fulfill. Because there's going to be times when the devil, you know, tries to send things your way that your mind starts saying, how am I going to make it? How am I going to survive this? I mean, how is this going to work? And that's when you have to put your mind on Christ. That's whenever you have to renew your mind and say, you know what, Mr. Devil? I realize that your purpose is to destroy me, but I realize that I have a greater purpose on the inside. And then I can live the greater purpose. But we have to have the right mindset. First of all, we need to have a mindset that the devil is going to be there to destroy you or try to destroy, you know, sometimes he'll try to destroy you personally, whether it's physically, financially, emotionally, or whatever it might be. And then sometimes he might just try to destroy us as a group. Right now, obviously, there is a lot of anti-Christianity things in this country. And it seems that they don't want us Christians to have as much rights as other people have. You know, and sometimes the devil's trying to destroy us as a nation, whether we're Christians or not Christians. I mean, you know, obviously the coronavirus is attacking everybody, whether they're a Christian or not a Christian. All right, so we have different attacks from the devil. It comes different ways. I mean, just like, you know, when you have a hurricane or a tornado or something like that, I mean, they don't say, well, you're a Christian, I can't attack your house. I mean, you know, I mean, so it attacks everybody. But now, when it comes to the attacking Christianity, there's two things that we need to do. Number one, pray. Number two, vote. You know, a lot of times I hear a lot of people complaining about a lot of things, and I've asked a lot of people, well, did you vote? Well, you know, I didn't get registered, or I didn't do this, or I didn't do that. Well, quit being a didn't do and do it.
Right, right.
I mean, you know, it's my freedom, and, you know, I believe as a United States of American citizen, and as a citizen of the state of Oklahoma and the city of Tulsa, that God, I live in Tulsa, not Broken Arrow, and so that I should be voting for everything. Now, if I understand this right, maybe I have it wrong, the information is wrong, but it kind of, you know, it's something like this. The last election for mayor for the city of Tulsa, someone told me only 12% of the people who are registered to vote voted. All right, and then, you know, when it comes to city councilors, I mean, I've seen city councilors races, you know, not just in our cities and counties, but other ones, where like you only have like a couple of thousand people voting. You know, and for that, if you happen to live in Tulsa, next Tuesday is an election. And so I'm going to be out there and vote. I vote for everything. I vote for every kind of bill, every kind of stuff. And, you know, in fact, one of the things that's on election are some city questions that really could affect a lot of people. And so now that's in the city of Tulsa. Broken Arrow, I don't think, has an election going on. But you know what? We should vote for everything. But you can't vote if you don't register. All right? I'm not telling you who to vote for. You can figure out who to vote for on your own. But the thing is that we need to elect people who believe like we do. That's the way to change things. I'm not trying to be real political here. I wasn't even planning on talking about that. But you know, sometimes we don't do our natural things that we could do. It's just like, you know, I believe that if you naturally have sickness and the doctor can do something about it, go see the doctor. You know, I believe in taking medication until God gives you the complete healing. Just like I believe that we should vote. I mean, I think that we should do things naturally. And of course, my dad always talks about the natural and the supernatural working together makes an explosive force for God. And so we need to work together. But that's not my point. That's not what I want to preach on. In fact, I'm not even where I want to preach on yet. I'm going to get there right now. You know, time gets away from me on Wednesday night. It's kind of short, so... My subject really starts off in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. And this is the message that I want to preach on. But I want to start out to let you know the devil's out to steal, kill, and destroy. All right? But Isaiah 54, 17 says this. It says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Let's read this from the New Living Translation before we talk about it. It says, but in that coming day, no weapon turned against you will succeed. You will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. These benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. Their vindication will come from me. I, the Lord, have spoken. Now, this says a lot right there. First of all, it says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. All right, we need to understand that. Or New Living Translation says, will succeed. Now, notice it doesn't say that you'll never have a weapon formed against you. See, that's where we kind of get, our mindset gets wrong. I just started out to tell you the devil's, his purpose in life is to destroy you. So that means his purpose in life is to every day try to form weapons against you. So when you have a weapon formed against you, you're like, yeah, I knew that was coming. You know, actually, I know this is probably a bad way to think, but I think like this a lot. You know, when things are going really, really great and nothing's like coming against me, I'm thinking, well, it's coming soon. The devil's not a quitter. It's coming soon. And sometimes whenever, you know, there are seasons, it seems, for a long time, things are going really, really well for a long time. And it seems like what happens is what the devil is, he's trying to hit you with an atom bomb of a weapon. You know, but here's the thing. Weapons are going to be formed against you. So when a weapon gets formed against you, don't freak out about it, because you knew it was coming. You knew it was coming. I mean, you know, it's like, well, because I know a lot of people, whenever weapons start coming their way, they start like, I don't know what to do. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to trust in the Lord. You're going to trust in God. He's the one who defends you, because it says right here, it says, no weapon turned against you will succeed. You will silence every voice raised up against, to accuse you. These benefits, see, these are one of the benefits of being a Christian. These benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. So you know what? When weapons start coming against me, what am I going to do? I'm going to say, you know what, God, I'm going to invoke my benefits. My weapon crushing benefits that you have given me in the Word of God. And I'm not going to worry about these weapons formed against me, because I know they're not going to prosper. You know, why would you worry about something that's not going to be in full manifestation ever? I mean, if it's never going to prosper, why would you worry about it? You only worry about something you know that's going to actually be fulfilled in your life. A weapon is not a prophecy. A weapon is an attack from the devil, and they're going to happen. I'm here to tell you, I tell you all the time, that's why I read John 10:10 all the time. Weapons are going to be formed against you. It's going to happen. It's no big deal. Your God is bigger than any weapon. Your God is bigger than any devil that's going to form any weapon. And see, you know, what happens is, though, a weapon gets formed against us, and all of a sudden our thought life starts entertaining about what's going to happen if this weapon really works. If you're thinking about what's going to happen if this weapon works, then you're not putting your trust in God. You're not really thinking about this weapon's not going to, you know, it's not going to prosper. Because if you really thought how you should think, you would laugh about it. You wouldn't go on Facebook and get all upset about it, because it doesn't going to prosper anyway. So who cares? You know, the other day I preached about having the armor of God on. If you have the right armor, you're there to come against any attack from the devil. You know, and so what are you worried about? Because I don't know how many times that I've talked to people that they're having a so-called weapon formed against them, whether it's them personally, whether it's their family, whether it's a group of people, and they're like freaking out trying to figure out what to do. And I'm like, well, the Bible clearly tells us, you know, because, you know, it clearly tells us no weapon formed against us shall prosper. It comes up at the end and says, their vindication will come from me. I, the Lord, have spoken. It doesn't say that we're supposed to vindicate it. It says, you know what? Give it to the Lord. Let him vindicate you. You know, we have too many other things to do to fight other people that are forming weapons against us. You know, and don't even call, you know, I know sometimes what we want to do, we want to call them the devil, because, you know, the devil's using you to form a weapon against me. You know, but that's not right either. You know, people are just being people. So I want to read in the Old Testament a story about a weapon formed against somebody, and we're going to find out what he did about it. That's over in Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. And I want to read this, I'll paraphrase part of the story and we'll read part of the story, but here was Daniel, and he was there, and the king really liked Daniel a lot. And everyone there knew that the king was thinking about putting Daniel over all the kingdom, and some other people got jealous because they didn't think that he should have all that power. And that's what happens. You know, people get jealous. They do. People get jealous about things and about, you know, another benefit of being a Christian is we have favor. We find favor with men as well as with God. And then I've seen a lot of people that have been promoted in their job, and sometimes they're like, well, I'm not sure why I chose you. For some reason, I felt I should choose you. Right. You know, it's because, you know, we as Christians find favor, and sometimes we as Christians, when we find favor, people get mad about it. Another reason why we find favor is because Christians seem to be more trustworthy people that aren't talking about everybody all the time, not lying, not trying to steal from the cash register and all those kind of things. And in fact, it says right here, it says they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn because he was faithful, responsible, and completely trustworthy. And they're like, man, we don't have anything. So they concluded our only chances of finding grounds to accuse Daniel would be in connection with his rules of his religion. So they went to the king, and we'll read here verse 7. It says, we are all in agreement, we administrators, officials, and high officers, advisors, and governors, that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced, give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions. All right, and so... you know, you would think that the king would be smart enough to understand what's going on. But, you know, I guess he trusted these advisors so much, he's just like, well, yeah, that sounds cool. So it says, verse number 8, and now your majesty issued and signed this law so it cannot be changed, an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. So King Darius signed the law. So he signed the law that you can't pray to anyone except for the king for the next, 30 days? And so so what happened in verse 10? But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and cried and pleaded with God and trying to figure out what he's going to do. No, it doesn't say that. When Daniel learned the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with his windows open. Not his windows closed, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, and he prayed 3 times a day, just as he always had done, giving thanks to his God. So what did Daniel do? The same thing he always did. Why? Because no weapon formed against him shall prosper. Because you know what? Most people are thinking, you know what? Well, if I'm going to pray, let me at least close the windows. You know, let me pray in secret. You know, let me do the silent prayer so nobody hears me. You know, because I don't want to be killed by lions. But here's something we have to realize. If God is not finished with your purpose, the devil's not going to kill you. As long as you trust in him. You know, what Daniel did was he wasn't worried about the weapon formed against him. He continued to live life like he always did. Now, when he did that, he had to also face up to some consequences that didn't look really good and didn't put him in kind of a bad place. But consequences formed against you will not prosper either. You have to put your mind stayed on the Lord and understand, you know what? My God is able. He's able. Actually, the Bible says we already have won the victory. We've already won the victory. You know, back, this was the Old Testament here. You know, we in the New Testament, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus hung on the cross, and then he went to go down to defeat Satan, we won the victory at that point in time. And we have been given the authority in the name of Jesus to speak. But this is still Old Testament here, and so you know, he hadn't read all of Paul's writings and stuff. I mean, he didn't have that. See, that's one thing we don't even realize. I mean, how fortunate we are that we have the Old Testament. We also have the New Testament, and we can read the Old Testament in light of the New Testament, and we have better promises and better everything. And we, you know, the thing about it, even the early church, you think about, well, let's say I was in the church of Ephesus. Well, I got one book, Ephesians. I probably don't have these other books unless someone brought them over to me. But you know, these books are letters. I mean, they were written to this church or that church or another church. But we have letters from all these different churches. Just so awesome. 2020 is an awesome year. I mean, it's good to be alive this year. You know, I would not want to live in another area, another place. In fact, it was interesting. My granddaughter the other day was going around the house, was talking about what there's some song that she saw on YouTube or whatever. She's singing "What a Wonderful Year It Is." And I'm thinking, how many other people are going around their house singing "What a Wonderful Year It Is"? You know, but, you know, it is what we say it is. No weapon formed against us will prosper. And so here it was. He continued as normal. Well, because he continued as normal, these guys went back to the king and said, Mr. King, just want to let you know that Daniel's not praying to you. He's praying to his God. And you signed the law that says if you pray to another person except for me, that you're going to have to throw him in the lion's den. And so, anyway, verse 13, we'll start there. It says, then they told the king that that man Daniel, one of the captives from Judah, is ignoring you and your law. He still prays to God, his God, three times a day. Hearing this, the king was deeply troubled, and he tried to think of a way to save Daniel. Why didn't he try to wait to think about that before he made the law? I mean, that's my point, but, you know, sometimes, you know, the devil blinds us, and we don't think about things. Anyway, it says he spent the rest of the day looking for a way to get Daniel out of this predicament. In the evening, the men went together to the king and said, Your Majesty, you know that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no law the king signs can be changed. So verse 16 says, so at last the king gave orders for Daniel to be arrested and thrown into the den of lions. The king said to him, May your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you. So you know what? Even the king says, you know what? May your God rescue you, because the king knew that his God, Daniel's God, was bigger than any lion. Amen. Amen. But my question is, do you know that your God is bigger than any problem? Your God is bigger than any situation. Your God is bigger than any sickness. Your God is bigger than any depression. Your God is bigger than any financial lack. Your God is bigger than anything. May your God deliver you from any lying tongue of the devil, any kind of thing the devil tries to come against you. Do we have the same mentality that Daniel had on that day? Because I'm here to say, I don't think a lot of us do. A lot of us don't believe. I mean, we want to believe that our God can deliver us. It's one thing to be thrown in the lion's den, another thing to walk in your house and have some kind of, you know, read bills and things like that. I mean, the fact that you're $10,000 in debt is one thing and you can't pay your mortgage, but the fact that you're going to be thrown in the lion's den, that's a whole other ball game there. I mean, you know, so anyway, verse number 19, I don't know if you remember Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. Well, this is the rest of the story. Verse 19 says, very early in the next morning, the king got up and hurried out to the lion's den. You know, if the king didn't have any faith in Daniel's God, he wouldn't have even got up early, because he would have known his fate. You realize that? Anyway, so he says, when he got there, he called out in anguish, Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God whom you serve so faithfully able to rescue you from the lions? Verse 21. Daniel answered, long live the king. Yeah. Now notice that Daniel wasn't mad at the king. You know, even though the king passed a dumb law, I mean, sometimes our rulers pass dumb laws. He didn't get mad at the king. He wasn't even mad at the people, because you know what? The God that I serve is more than enough. And we have to have that same mentality, that our God is more than enough, not just enough. but more than enough. That's exceedingly abundantly does more than we can ask or think. So, you know, I mean, think about this. I mean, the king probably was leaping with joy and thinking, "What, you know, Daniel, you're still alive." Verse 22 says, "My God sent his angels to shut the lion's mouth so that they would not hurt me, for I have been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty." See, what happens when we put our faith in God and let God take care of the situation, he will at all times. You know, and if there's sometimes there's people that try to come against you because they don't like you, they want to try to destroy you, well, let God shut their mouth. You don't have to. I know sometimes we would like to go and physically shut their mouth, but let's pray. Let God shut their mouth. Let him vindicate you. Because see, in the end, the rest of the story is that Daniel ends up winning. It says the king was overjoyed and ordered that Daniel be lifted from the dead. Not a scratch was found on him, for he had trusted in his God. If you'll trust in your God, you won't get a scratch. Even if you're going through a storm, even if you're going through a battle, even if you're going through a lion's den, it doesn't matter what you're going through. What matters is who is your God. Amen. Amen. But then verse 24 said, then the king gave orders to arrest the men who had maliciously accused Daniel. He led them, he had them thrown into the lion's den along with their wives and children. The lions leaped on them and tore them apart before they even hit the floor of the den. So it wasn't like the lions weren't hungry. They were hungry, but they had no power and no authority over our God. God shut their mouth. And, you know, Daniel didn't know what was going to happen. He just acted normal because no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Amen? Amen. A couple more verses, then we'll go. It's 1 John 4:4. The New Living Translation, we all know what it says. It says, "But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people." Yeah. We have already won a victory. We're not going to win a victory. We've already won a victory. And whenever you have already won a victory, you act victorious. I mean, when you see people win the national championship or win the Super Bowl or whatever, they act victorious. But we can act victorious because we've already won the victory. We've already won the ball game. All right? Because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. The greater one lives on the inside of me. And so it doesn't matter if I get let down in what I feel like is a virtual lion's den. Because maybe you're not in a physical lion's den, but you might feel like you're in a virtual lion's den or you're in a virtual fiery furnace. But praise God, you're going to walk out of that place if you put your trust in God, if you know who your God is, if you know that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. My God is greater. Yeah. Yeah. My God is victorious. Yes, and that needs to be my mentality. I don't care what's going on. I don't care what's coming against me and my family or my church or my country or whatever. My God is greater and my God's still in control. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I have a sermon, it's out there. It's called The Greater Mentality. We got to have that greater mentality every day of the life of our life. Last verse I want to mention is James 4:7. New Living Translation says this. So humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, when the devil tries to come to attack you, and that's his purpose, so he's going to, you have to resist him. And he will flee. The word flee means to run from as in terror. All right? The devil is afraid of you if you resist him. Now, if we don't resist him, what happens most of the time is we get afraid. I mean, that's the whole thing. During this pandemic, it's all about fear. It's all about fear. It's all about fear. But it needs to be all about Jesus. All about Jesus. And it doesn't matter what anybody else happens. You know. Here's the thing I say all the time. So the God still has plans for me. I'm not going to die today. He has plans for me. You know, I mean, there's a lot of times, I know, get ready to get on an airplane, especially flying overseas, you know, in the world that we live in right now. And your mindset wants to think, well, what happens if something happens? This plane gets bombed or this, you know, this or that or whatever. And then, well, that's a bad thought life. Now, here's the thing. Now, there also is a thing is it following the leading of the Spirit? I always tell someone, if I feel like I should not get on that airplane, I'm not getting on that airplane. I don't care if I was wrong. I might have missed it. I don't care. I'll live to fly another day. Or if I feel I shouldn't drive on that trip or do this, or I feel like I shouldn't do whatever, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to override what I feel on the inside. Now, see, that's one thing. What happens, I've heard a lot of people override that, and then they end up destroying themselves. But see, I know if I'm flying an airplane, I have no check, that I have a purpose. God's not finished with my purpose yet, so I'm not dying on that airplane. Now, if God's trying to warn me, I know my wife, I mean, this is not in the Bible or anything, but she feels, because an instance has happened to her before, the Lord will try to warn you three times. Three times, because she can think of a couple instances where the Lord's trying to warn her three times not to do something, and she overrode it and paid the consequences. See, that's something, if the Lord's trying to warn you, we have to follow the leading of the Spirit. But see, what happens a lot of times, the devil is just trying to play with our mind, and that's when you have to resist the devil and say, devil, you have no right, you have no authority. I don't care that you're trying to put this on me, it's not going to prosper. It's not going to prosper, so just go on, flee. Flee, Mr. Devil. You know, get out of here. Vamoose, I mean, you know, leave me alone. You have no right. I already have the victory. So I just want you to remember that weapons will be formed, but no weapon formed against you shall ever prosper. In the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you for each and every person that's here and each and every person that's watching us online. But Father God, we thank you that they will remember this message the next time that some weapons gets formed against them. We thank you, Father. Instead of getting all upset, instead of getting all nervous and about it, that they'll be able to trust in you. Live life as normal. And say, you know what? Devil, you have no right. You have no authority. You have no ability. You must leave in the name of Jesus. God, we just thank you for just touching each and every one of us and helping us have that mentality that we're getting through this. Father God, we just thank you that COVID-19 cannot exist anymore. We come against this deadly virus. We command it to leave. We thank you, Father, for touching each and every person that has this virus in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for the healing power of God flowing into their body. We thank you, Father, this virus is being eradicated. Being eradicated. And this country will come back financially, physically, spiritually, and emotionally like never before. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. Let's all stand up. Before we go, I want them to sing this song. I'm sure most of you probably know it. Go ahead.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. No.
A day where it seems that the weapon gets formed against me, I just start singing that song. It won't work. Because God's going to do what he says he's going to do. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God. God bless you guys. We'll see you back here Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Give everybody air high fives, air hugs, and we'll see you guys later. God bless you.